Good morning, everyone. Indeed, it is a good morning. I welcome you, and God welcomes you to this place dedicated to worshiping the one who created and loves us. God also welcomes the worship of all who cannot be present in this place this morning, but will join us in our worship. Our first hymn of worship to our holy God is number 120 in the blue hymnal. Please stand and remain standing then for the call to worship. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Come, let us worship and bow down before the Lord our Maker. Dear God, our friend and helper, we come to worship you today. We come to sing, to pray and listen. You always hear us. Help us to hear you. Amen. And now turn in the purple, sing the story to page 4.
number four and sing the story. And if you can remain standing, please do. Now in the green, sing the Journey hymn book, number 62. 62. In the green, sing the Journey book.
Honest confession is good for the soul. Even more so, God's gracious forgiveness. Please join me in confession. Gracious God, hear our confessions. Our faith is sometimes uncertain. Our forgiveness toward others is often slow. Our convictions lack strength. Our compassion wavers. We have exalted the proud and powerful and put down the weak. We neglect the poor and send the hungry away empty-handed while we help ourselves to the good things available. Show us mercy, O God. Help us show mercy through your Son, our Savior. Amen. And now, if you'll stand for these words of assurance. Thank you, forgiving God, that you do not deal with us according to our sins. You do not repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is your love to us who fear you. As far as the east is from the west, so far you have removed our transgressions of sin from us. Amen. And so, with this promise of forgiveness, we can show and share the peace of Christ in our lives and share it with the world. May the peace of Christ be with you. It's time for the children to come forward for the children's story.
Hold on to that for just 1 minute. Sorry, I expected another round of song. That's why I started eating. You guys know what I'm eating?
Just don't eat at children's time.
Why not?
Because there's no eating at children's
no.
time.
Well, I bought this entire box of granola bars for me to eat.
They're the yummiest.
You like them? How would it make you feel if I just sat here and ate all of them?
Isn't
that good? I would get a tummy ache, that's true. Well, I went and I bought this whole box for myself because I was hungry and I'm going to keep them all to me. How does that make you feel?
I'll eat one.
Would you like to eat one?
Yes.
Yeah? Would it make you feel better if I shared what I had with you guys?
Yeah.
So today Ben is going to talk about greed and about a rich man who was a fool. And he had a lot of grain and harvest, and so instead of sharing it with other people, he just built a bigger barn and kept it all for himself. And so we're going to talk about how it's not good to be greedy. So this is my example of being greedy, but instead of doing that, at the end I'll share some of these with you. But before that, let's pass this basket around, and if you have any money or blessings to share with other people that are in need... Great. So you shared what you had with other people, right? I don't remember who this basket is going to, but it'll go to someone in need.
I put $1 in it.
Thank you. All right. Well, if you guys would like a granola bar, and maybe you could take a second one to share with someone sitting by you, because I got a couple here. If you think of anyone out there that might like one.
Bunch.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch. All right, and before we go back, we're going to say a prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all of the blessings we have, and we pray that you will help us remember to share what we have with other people and not to keep everything to ourselves.
Salty.
Amen. Great. All right, you guys can go back to your seats.
The scripture that Yossi referred to is found in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions."
Lucas 12, 13 al 21. Uno de la multitud dijo a Jesús, "Maestro, dile a mi hermano que comparta conmigo la herencia." Pero Jesús le dijo, "Hombre, ¿quién me ha puesto como juez o mediador entre ustedes?" También les dijo, "Manténganse atentos y cuídense de toda avaricia, porque la vida del hombre no depende de los muchos bienes que posea."
Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do with, for I have no place to store all my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to myself, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul was being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God."
Además, les contó una parábola. Un hombre rico tenía un terreno que le produjo una buena cosecha. Y este hombre se puso a pensar, "¿Qué voy a hacer? No tengo dónde guardar mi cosecha." Entonces dijo, "Ya sé lo que haré. Derribaré mis graneros, construiré otros más grandes y allí guardaré todos mis frutos y mis bienes. Y me diré a mí mismo, 'Ya puede descansar mi alma, pues ahora tengo guardados muchos bienes para muchos años. Ahora pues, a comer, a beber y a disfrutar.' Pero Dios le dijo, 'Necio, esta noche vienen a quitarte la vida. ¿Y para quién será lo que has guardado? Eso le sucede a quien acumula riquezas para sí mismo, pero no es rico para con Dios.'"
The word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor.
Gracias a Dios. Our preacher this morning is Ben. We'll have a prayer for him. God, thank you for Ben, for his study of this passage this week. Now guide him as he brings your word to us and open our hearts to hear what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thousands of people had gathered to see and hear Jesus. There were so many people that they were trampling over one another. Somehow, someone in the crowd is able to get Jesus' attention and yells out, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." It seems like a reasonable request. Jesus, after all, is a trusted rabbi, and rabbis could be expected to interpret inheritance laws. Jesus, however, does not want to play judge in this dispute. Perhaps he senses greed underlying the man's request, or perhaps he simply wants to use this opportunity to address an important issue with the wider crowd. "Take care," Jesus says. "Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Jesus, no doubt, had observed many with destructive relationships to money and possessions. And to illustrate his point, he proceeds with a parable. "The land of a rich man produced abundantly." Now notice it is the land that produces abundantly, not the rich man. The land is the subject of the sentence. And rightly so, as anyone who has gardened or farmed can tell you. You can't guarantee abundance. You plant and you water, but you can't guarantee that the plant will grow or produce a certain amount. Rather, it is God who created this earth who makes it grow and produce. So the land has produced well, and this is the perfect moment for the rich man to realize the incredible bounty from God. And yet his thoughts do not turn to God, but rather to himself. And we, the readers, are given access to this man's thoughts. "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." What could have been a time of thanksgiving gives way to worry and concern. The abundance is a problem in the mind of this rich man. The timing of this parable in the lectionary calendar is quite fitting. Late summer is the season of abundance. Some plants from our own garden are producing well. The green beans have been pouring in. The tomatoes are just turning ripe and will begin to feel overwhelming. And sometimes it's so easy to get caught up in dealing with all the food and not wanting it to go to waste that I forget to thank God for the abundance in the first place. What to do with all this food? The rich man finds his answer, and his refusal to acknowledge anyone but himself becomes even more apparent. "I will do this," he says. "I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all of my grain and my goods." If this man wasn't so self-focused, I might think he's a Mennonite. He doesn't want to waste anything. Don't a lot of Mennonites can and preserve and freeze their food for later? This is what Yossi and I do. Doesn't it just make good sense to store your food for later? Yes, but this is a little bit different, or quite different. First, the rich man's abundance is not just a household produce, garden produce. He is dealing with barns full of food, way too much for one person. Secondly, this man's motive for storing food is incredibly selfish. As we can see as his thought monologue continues, "And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry." The rich man has had his say, and now it's God's turn. And interestingly, this is the only time in any of the parables that God directly acts. And God comes out swinging. "You fool, this very night your life is being prepared, is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" With the parable complete, Jesus adds an interpretive sentence. So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. Storing up treasures for ourselves, something that is quite easy to do for those of us who live in the United States, one of the richest countries in the world. And whether we live from paycheck to paycheck or we have faithfully saved money over the years, we have immediate access to money and to an incredible assortment of possessions. And while there are no Donald Trumps in this room bragging about their incredible wealth, many of us, including myself, have excess money or possessions or time and must discern what to do with it. Sometimes I wonder if I am storing up treasures for myself by having a retirement account. I have been encouraged both by the world and by the church to put money into a retirement account starting when I'm young. And while practically I know that this is a good thing, I often wonder, am I just being selfish or is this just plain wrong? Am I the rich fool? Couldn't this money be used in better ways? In our first world environment, how can we learn to have a healthy relationship to money and possessions? I do not have answers, nor, like Jesus in this story, am I here to judge. But what Jesus provided for the people back then and what he provides for us now with this parable is an opportunity for self-examination with regards to our abundance, whatever it may be. The parable helps us think about greed. And while this parable does not specifically address how much is too much money or possessions, greed is not something to mess with. After all, the more money we make or acquire, the greater the temptation it is to use it for ourselves, and also the greater responsibility we have to use it well. I think I'm pretty good at saying no to the many possessions that society tells me I need to buy. I rarely buy new clothes or shoes, which sometimes comes back to bite me because when I'm trying to figure out what to wear for weddings or for preaching, I don't know what to wear. I don't need the latest phone or gadget, and we have a car from the 90s. But even with this mindset, greed creeps into my life and positions can overtake us. A few years ago, one desire for me was a motorcycle. I really wanted one, but I could not justify buying one because there was no real need for one. I still really, really wanted a motorcycle. So I decided to set parameters for buying one so my greed wouldn't take over. We decided that we needed to sell our second car before I would buy the motorcycle. Furthermore, I put limits on what I would buy. Society says you need a fast, high-powered motorcycle, so I was okay with a small, powered one that got great gas mileage. Society says it needs to be new, but I was fine with an old one that had rust and needed some work. Even with these parameters, I was consumed by my online search. At any free moment, I would check Craigslist to see if there was another motorcycle, and I didn't want to pass up the right deal. I finally did buy a motorcycle, and I was pleased that I had set these parameters so that my greed wouldn't go unchecked. Because, as we know, the human mind is incredibly adept at justifying our choices and our behavior. Greed grabs us all. So what kind of things is Jesus highlighting for us in this parable that helps us deal with this greed that's in our lives and surrounding us? And what we see is that there is nothing wrong with a good harvest or with abundance. Our God is a God of abundance. But rather, it is how one responds to this abundance that reveals whether one is a fool or not. Our first response to any abundance that we accumulate must be a source of thanksgiving to God. After all, our money or house or possessions may not really be ours anyway. Not only does all of this become irrelevant once we die, but as Psalm 24 tells us, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. How bold of us to pretend that these things are ours and ours alone. What if we viewed our possessions, house, and money not as our own, but rather God's? If we were stewards of God's money, how might we use it differently? And I think once we can see our wealth in this way, we can begin to find healthy ways of using it, ways in which we can be rich towards God and rich toward others. Yasi and I try to live in this way. Earlier I mentioned that we give towards retirement accounts. But we do not just give to ourselves, we also give away. At this time, we give away about the same amount as we give towards the retirement account. I'm not sure how this plan would translate across differing levels of income, but it seems to work for us, and it keeps us from thinking that it's our money and from being greedy. Furthermore, any money that we accumulate over the years and isn't used to live off later on will be given away to others. The purpose of our retirement account is not so that we can live a carefree life and not worry about anyone else. Through it, we hope that we can be rich towards God and others. We also own a house instead of living on the seminary campus. It's a much more costly option. But one of our reasons for having a house is so that we can host people and extend hospitality in this way. We want our house to be a blessing to others as well. Jean Bender from this congregation is another wonderful example of someone who has used her abundance to bless others. Jean could have used her savings to satisfy her own wants and desires, yet she knew that one day she would die and wanted that money to go to others. In her life, Jean was always ready and happy to give. And now Jean has blessed this congregation and community with an incredible gift. Her money will bear fruit in this congregation for years to come. What Jean has demonstrated and what I have experienced as well is that giving is enjoyable. I enjoy finding ways to give. If I hear of certain needs around me, it is a blessing to be able to respond by giving. The final thing this parable highlights for us is how greed relates to being selfish. The rich man in this parable is incredibly selfish. Never does the thought come to his mind to thank God for the abundance. Never does the thought cross his mind to share his abundance with others and in ways that please God. One reason I think this man is selfish is because of his isolation. Where is this man's family and community to help him discern what to do with this major decision? And with no one else around, his greed takes over and he only considers himself. In order to keep yourself from getting greedy, I encourage you to surround yourself with others. Spend time with God, spend time with others, and you will be aware of ways in which you can give of your time and your money and your possessions. As part of my internship, I have been working at Pedal Power, our community bike shop, in circles with people with whom I would not normally interact. My time here continually opens my eyes to needs around me and makes it more difficult to justify spending money on myself. Our God is a God of abundance. May we live as people rich toward God, people who are thankful of God's abundance, people who are aware of God's presence in this world and the needs of those around us, people who give their money and their time and their possessions to bless God and to bless others. Amen.
Number 389.
invite you to turn in the green song books, Sing the Journey, to number 78, Sizohamba Naye. A couple of announcements. The rumor is true that there is no coffee. There's no Fellowship 15. I know that's withdrawal and it's a hardship. We will bear this burden together as we fellowship in the hallways for 10 or 15 minutes afterwards. Do stay and greet each other. There are several classes. There's going to be a group meeting in the foyer, the narthex at the back of the auditorium with our preacher Ben. Y vamos a tener una clase en español abajo en el sótano. There'll be a class in Spanish down in the basement working on Ephesians and some other texts. And there's also, I believe, a Bible study class in the basement. There is no regular children's Sunday school classes today. So we expect to be getting into our new school and church year routine very soon. But with the upheaval in the building, there's some changes. And we anticipate having coffee in 2 weeks. A week from today, remember, is our annual picnic. So after the worship service next Sunday, we will head a little bit earlier, maybe than usual, to the park and be ready for that time of fellowship with Fellowship of Hope, two congregations that do this together. There are restrooms available, even though the ones that you see first when you come in the building have been completely taken out this week. There's a restroom right off the narthex by the nursery. Then there's men's and women's actually on half a flight down from the main entrance of the church, the street entrance, a flight down. And then there's a handicap accessible down in the full basement. Below the area that's being renovated, that, of course, is accessible by elevator. Let's sing together Sizohamba. And now may God, who is rich in mercy, sustain you. May the Spirit, generous in power, transform you. May Christ, the Prince of Peace, walk with you this week and always. Amen.